There was sad news, you know, in the media. You heard about the shooting in South Carolina. We stand with the families of the deceased. We need to pray, keep on praying and petitioning the heavens on behalf of this country so that this kind of heinous crimes don't occur again. Praise the Lord. So pray for those families. And there was also something else actually on Saturday. I became very, I realized that I was becoming so irritated about some report that, you know, the report from the Supreme Court, and I know most of you know what happened. It is now a civil right, you know, for gays and lesbians to marry in this country. And I was really, really shocked, you know, and really, not really shocked, but I was really disturbed about the whole thing. I realized that I was irritated about this administration because, you know, from the time that they gave a leeway even to homosexuality in this nation, it has started forming ground. But you know what? The one thing I would like to encourage you, brothers and sisters, is that all is not lost. Amen? You know, homosexuality, the gays and lesbian movement comprise of about 17% of this nation. And their voices are so much louder, you would think that the whole nation is under homosexuality demon. Praise the Lord. We really need to pray and to trust God. And you know, I heard the news and I was here, I just had to seek consolation from the word of the Lord. And I'd like us to read a few verses from the book of Romans chapter number 1. And I know most of you know this scripture. I had to go search because I felt like, why would it happen in our day? Why would it? Because, you know, things like this, the spirit of the devil just creeping slowly. And before you know it, it is on our doorsteps, you know. It will be, you know, to a point whereby they would force even ministers or church organizations to recognize that as a civil right, you know, as it's happening in parts of Canada. Remember, I told you about this. We really need to pray, especially when we have the opportunity and also to be knowledgeable about what is happening. It's amazing how some of us may not even be aware, you know, of what is happening. You know, sometimes it's good to watch the news. It's good to follow what is happening in our country. Amen? Amen, somebody? Amen. Yeah, so that you can pray with wisdom. It's good to pray with knowledge about what, some of these things you might not even think that they are going to affect you in one way or another. But I want to tell you that you have children who are going to schools, and sooner or later our children are going to be subjected to this, the so-called civil rights. And you know what? You preach about godliness, but on the same time, there's the government and whatever it does, you know, the policies that are unteaching or kind of like wanting to brainwash our children even as they go to school. We may be mature ourselves, but it may not be so for our children. So, you know, for the sake of our generation, we need to rise up and pray even for this. I believe the battle is not lost because, as I can see, people are already rising up, and there's legitimate ways even to undo this if people pray to undo what the Supreme Court did yesterday. Now, I'd like us to go to the book of Romans chapter number 1, and I'll read from verse number 18. I'd like for you just to be attentive. This is not what I'm intending to speak about today, but I just want you to know that the Bible is very clear about all these things, the maladies that are happening in our day. Amen? This is what the Bible says, Romans chapter number 1. You can read there also. Now, the Bible says, God's anger is shown from heaven against all the evil and wrong things people do. By their own evil lives, they hide the truth. God shows his anger because some knowledge of him has been made clear to them. Yes, God has shown himself to them. Amen? There are things about him that people cannot see, his eternal power, and all the things that make him God. But since the beginning of the world, those things have been easy to understand by what God has made. So people have no excuse, and I repeat that, people have no excuse for the bad things they do. They knew God, but they did not give glory to God or thank him. Their thinking became useless. Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. They said they were wise, but they became fools. They traded the glory of God who lives forever for the worship of idols made to look like earthly people, birds, animals, and snakes. Because they did these things, God left them and let them go their sinful way. Are you listening to me? Wanting only to do evil. As a result, they became full of sexual sin, using their bodies wrongly with each other. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshipped and served what has been created instead of the God who created those things, who should be praised forever. Amen. Verse number 26. Because people did those things, God left them and let them do the shameful things they wanted to do. Women stopped having natural sex and started having sex with other women. In the same way, men stopped having natural sex and became wanting each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and in their bodies, they received the punishment for those wrongful things. People did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God. So God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking and to do the things they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, selfishness, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst about each other. They gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude and conceited and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They do not obey their parents. They are foolish. They do not keep their promises. And they show no kindness or mercy to one another. They know God's law says that those who live like this should die. But they themselves not only continue to do evil things, they applaud others who do them. This actually is reflective of what is happening in America today, right? So do not be shocked when these things happen, especially on our doorsteps. God has allowed these things to happen. But let me tell you, make no mistakes. You know, the wheat and the chaff is growing together. And soon and very soon, there's going to be a separation that is going to take place in America and all those and across the face of the earth. Amen? But having done so, are we going to keep silent concerning these things? We are going to pray for those who are practicing these things. We are not going to hate them. I'm not saying that you hate the homosexuals, but we need to pray for them because, as the Bible clearly states, it's not that they are not aware about what God says about it. In their very knower, if you ask them critically, they will tell you for sure, I know what we are doing is wrong, because that's what the Bible says. And we cannot go against the word of the Lord. Everybody who practices this kind of sin, they are under deception. And they already know. They know that there's a God. And they already know what God requires of them. But God has led them to do the evil that they do. But soon and very, very soon, God is going to come with his sickle. And he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Amen. We need to pray as a church. We need to pray for all these people who practice this kind of sins so that they may also inherit the kingdom of God. They may come into realization and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they may turn from their wicked ways. Amen? Hallelujah. Are we in the house? Amen. So these things disturbed me, and I've been praying. I've been telling God to help me. And you know, when you're very passionate about some things, you know, the word of the Lord, you know, you can't help but just to seek for the Lord's help so that he can lead and guide us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, this morning, I want us to share from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43, verse number 18 to 20. Isaiah 43, verse number 18 to 20. Amen. So you can turn your Bibles there. Oh, if you don't have your Bible, Sister Lorraine is going to display the Bible for you on the screen so that we can read, so that you can get to know what the Word of the Lord says. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 18 to 20. Hallelujah. And I will read. The Lord says, forget what has happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Do you not see it? I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. Even the wild animals will be thankful to me. The wild dogs and owls, they will honor me when I put water in the desert. Let me see what it says from verse number 18 on that translation. Verse number 18, Sister Lorraine, let me read it. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Somebody say something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness. Amen. The Bible, there's another translation that says that I will make a way in the desert places. The rivers in the I will make a way in the desert places, and I will make the wastelands. I will make streams flow from wastelands. In this translation, it says, "I will cause there to be rivers in the desert, and I will make a way in the wilderness. The animals of the field will honor me, jackals and ostriches, because I provide water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Prophet Isaiah wrote the prophecies that are recorded in the book of Isaiah in the times when the nation of Israel was under siege and under calamity, under captivity, under so many things, the trouble that was going through. And in this instance, in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, Isaiah is encouraging the children of Israel that all is not lost. Amen? All is not lost. You know, God had already performed many, many miracles to the children of Israel, some of which, you know, that he took them out of the land of captivity, you know, from the land of Egypt, through a process into the land of Canaan. The process was not easy. And in some of the instances, as you all know, the servant of the Lord Moses had to rely on God's provision and on God's guidance in the passage of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt into captivity. You all know how God parted the Red Sea. You all know how God provided manna in the desert. You know, you all know how the children of Israel cried out in the desert and they didn't have no water. And you know how God spoke to Moses and he provided for the children of Israel in the desert. Praise the Lord. And a time also comes where they are besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar and most of them are taken into captivity in Babylon. And as you all know, we were talking about this the other day that, you know, that while the children of Israel were in Babylon, there's that psalm in Psalm 157 where they were saying, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now, while they were in captivity, bad things were happening. They were not able to attend to the temple. They were not able to worship as they were used to, as when they were in their own country. And Isaiah comes and he is encouraging them and he is telling them, but behold, all is not lost. He's telling them, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Pay no attention to the things past, because I, the Lord God, your God, is just about to do a new thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you have gone through circumstances. I don't know whether you identify with this message, because I surely identify with this message, because there are certain times in my life that I've gone through difficult situations whereby I didn't know where to turn. When I looked on my left, when I looked on my right, when I looked on any direction that I had, I didn't see any solution. And at that time, I needed an encouraging word from the Lord to encouraging word that would assure me that all will be well. Praise the Lord. And I'm here to encourage you, if you can identify with this message today, that all is not lost. You might look at your life and you might examine your life and everything around you, everything seemed to be crumbling down. Everything seemed like the world is coming up against you and the weight of the world has weighed you down. Your money is acting funny. Your children are not even up to where you want them to do. When you look at your career, it's like you've hit a dead end. I am here to encourage you, child of God, that all is not done. God has something fresh for you. Can somebody say amen? The Bible, and you know, Prophet Isaiah encourages the children of Israel, and he tells them, you know what? Forget your former things. Forget your past. Behold, I will do a new thing. One thing I love about God is that God, our God, is a progressive God. Our God always intends for us to move ahead. Amen. And that is his intention since he created this planet. I was looking into how much the race has come from. And you know, for thousands and thousands of years, we didn't have any industry. We didn't have any machines. We didn't have what we have today. Up till the 18th and the 19th century, there's what they call the Neolithic Revolution, whereby there was no machines, everything was done by hand. People just lived and did things by their own hands. But towards the end of the 18th and the 19th century, we jumped from the Neolithic Revolution into what they call the Industrial Revolution. People started now thinking, and God gave them the wisdom of how to bring about machines that would make their work easier. They started this in Europe, in Britain, whereby they manufactured a machine to make garments. And if you can compare the number of years, how much it took for us to get or to slip into Industrial Revolution, there were so many years. And we are talking until the late 1700s. That's when, you know, machine and industrialization began to come into the world. And the knowledge seemed to increase. As the Bible says, that knowledge shall increase even in the latter days. Praise the Lord. You know, if you compare what we have, and even in the last 20 years, you'd be amazed. 20 years, like when I was growing up, we didn't have email. You know, we didn't have, you know, there was that advertisement for some of you, you know, who came from where I come from. You know, there was that advertisement whereby a letter would be sent by a Maasai and you'd run past the ridges. How many of you can remember that advertisement? You know, delivery of a letter was given to somebody and you'd run with a mukuki and you'd run and run and run and run and run until that letter would be delivered. Today, that is called snail mail, you know. People don't send mails through the post office. You know, if you want to send a letter to your loved one, you don't want to. How many of you have written a letter recently to send maybe to your mother or to your father? You know, just a letter and you mailed it so that they would receive it. All you do now, you know, we came out of that, you know, and we came into email. Now email actually seems maybe sooner or later we are going to be calling email snail mail. You know, I don't know what it's going to be. There's now instant messaging, you know. You can WhatsApp somebody. You can even WhatsApp your mother, and instantly she can receive that message. Amen? And she doesn't need even to go to a computer. All you need is a smartphone. In other words, God has caused the human race to be progressive. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know what? I don't think that God intended for any one of us to be stagnant in what you do. Amen? 20 years from now back, if you look 20 years back, if anybody would have told me that I would be in the United States of America standing on a pulpit and preaching to some people who dwell in America, I would really not believe it. If 20 years or maybe 10 years back, if somebody ever told you that you'd be driving a car in the streets of Dallas, Texas, you'd think that they were dreaming. Actually, maybe you'd think that they were going psycho. But look what God has done. Amen? You know, sometimes we take things for granted. Amen? We were in the Bible study here, and one of our sisters was telling us how when she came to America, she was so thankful over the first job that God gave her. You know, right now, that the job that she has pays maybe three times what she what she got the first time she came to America. And she was reminding us of how she even prayed to the Lord and thanked the Lord so much because of providing this job. You know, and many times when we come here, especially when we come from overseas, we are able to, we convert the monies that you'd be making in Kenya or in your home country, and that seemed to be a lot of money. Amen. But how soon do we get a good job or in a better position than we forget how where God has brought us? Praise the Lord. The Lord has been faithful. It is by His mighty hand that He has brought you all the way, even from another country, and brought you to settle in this wonderful land. May He be praised today. Amen. Amen. Let us not quickly forget where we have come from. Let us not quickly forget His hand that has brought us even from a desperate situation and brought us into a beautiful land whereby, you know, there's plenty of food, there's plenty of, you mean, this everything is just within access. You can do whatever you want to do. Praise be to God. And so God is a progressive God. And since He is your creator, and since you've been created in the image and likeness of God, God also would intend for you to be a progressive person. Amen? So that, you know, at one point you'd take inventory and you'd say, you know what, 20 years from today, I was not where I am. But it is by the hand of God that through mountains, through valleys, I am where I am today. Praise be to God. It is by His hand that you are where you are today. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Now, in reflecting about this scripture today, there are certain things, if we want to be part and parcel of what God is speaking to us, when He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing to us, for you, forget the past. Forget the things that has happened. Disconnect yourselves from the things that you experienced before. For now I'm just about to do a new thing. Don't you see it? As a matter of fact, when this scripture was being spoken by Isaiah, he was speaking of better things. He was telling them, actually in one of the scriptures it says, a time is coming whereby the story and the magnificence of the deliverance of the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea will cease to be an amazing story, because I will do greater things than that. Praise the Lord. You know, you are seeing right now that you are in captivity in Babylon, but I'm putting everything together so that you would be brought out of captivity. But behold, I am just about to do even a greater thing, so that when whatever I'm just about to do is compared to what I did then, that will appear to be nothing. And he was speaking about the symbol of Christ coming to redeem mankind even from sin and giving them eternal life. Praise be to God. A greater experience that Isaiah was speaking even to the children of Israel, telling them that God was just about to do even greater things that he had even experienced. And in the same way, it would apply to us today, that no matter what you're going through, that God has an intention to do a great thing in your life. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You may not even sense it, but you know, God says that I want to do a new thing in your life. Now, there are certain things that we have to focus on, or we have to be aware of, if we are to believe that word when God says that I'm just about to do a new thing. And number one of the things that we have to think about, we have to change our focus. Somebody say, change your focus. Amen. Change your focus. You know, checking out on the past. I've heard people, and most of us, especially who have come, you know, into this, you should have seen me 4 years ago, how I used to work, how I used to pray. You know, that is not going to help you in what God is just about today. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we did for God what we did then. But what is God doing in your life today? Praise be to God. That should be the question. The question shouldn't be, in fact, there was a song that we used to sing that He has done great things. It is good, and it is very, very good when we think about what God has done in our lives. But that is not enough, because if we would settle for what God has done in our lives, then we would be arriving to what we call a status quo. But God wants us to go into a different place. In other words, if you know, in other words, your spiritual life is at maybe 6 out of a classification of 10. God would want you to go to an 8. In other words, God would want us to progress. Is somebody listening to me? Praise the Lord. So the number one that we have to focus on is change our focus. We have to stop looking behind. We have to stop looking at the past. We have to stop dwelling on the past, because the Lord, the Bible tells us, forget the former things. I know that some of us may have had victories in the past, and the Lord may have given you faith in order for you to have accomplished the victories that you possess. But God doesn't always use the same methodology to take you from point A to point B. In other words, if you are an evangelist and you used to work for God, what is God saying to you this day? What is God wanting to perform through you to accomplish his purpose today? Hallelujah. He might need to use a different engagement. Amen. He might be bringing a new divine connection. He might be giving you some brand new message which will propel you to do a new thing in your life. Praise be to God. See, and I've had many preachers talk about this, when you're driving your car, that's why you have a windshield, so that, and it is wind in range and view, so that you can look where you're going. Amen? But what do you have that always reminds you of your future? You have what you call a side mirror, right? What do you use the side mirror for? Did somebody say to check on the police? Change lanes? The side mirror all it helps you, aids you to where you're going. Amen? But I've never seen anybody who is driving on the front. I mean, you're going forward and you're just looking on the side mirror like this. You know, it's like you're turning and you're going a different direction, or you're making a turn, or you're going left just using your side mirror. No. But your side mirror aids you in where you're going. Amen? That's why it's only small and it's on the side of the car. And you have one here, you know, on the just near your view, so that you can just look at it just slightly and keep on going. Amen? So the Bible is telling us that we need to focus on where we are going. Amen? You don't dwell on your past. You don't dwell on your past. Now, your past may include victories. Your past may also include failures. Amen? So God is encouraging us. It doesn't matter that you have failed in the past. It doesn't matter whether you are successful. Maybe you have succeeded to get where you are. But are you just going to be content in where you are? Are you just going to arrive and say, oh, you know what? I don't need any other blessing. I don't need even to do any other thing. I am completely satisfied. The Bible says, let those who are strong be wary, because they can also fall. Success, there's so many definitions of the word success. I don't know what your definition of success is. Maybe you may have a lot of money in the bank. You know, maybe that could be your success. Maybe your children are all grown and so you don't have to hustle as much as possible. That could be the definition of success. But I know that there are people who have had money, and within overnight, you know, if they had their money invested in a stock exchange, you know, their money came and crumbled down. And some of them, you know, killed themselves just because of losing most of their wealth that they had. So success cannot just be termed as you know, when you have a lot of money, or when you think whatever you think is your success. But what I want us to know is that God wants us to be progressive. There's always a thing on the plate, in God's plate, for you to do. Amen? There's always a soul out there that is awaiting for your intervention. There's always ministry out there that is awaiting for you to jump in so that you can do. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? So do not focus on your past. Do not focus on your past victories. Do not even focus on the faith that caused you to get where you are. For behold, God wants to do a new thing. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Can somebody say amen? You got to encourage me somehow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, there are things that the Lord did even for the children of Israel. Now, you know, as I told you, that he caused them to leave Egypt. He caused them to go through the processes that they went through. And in the course of doing so, they were complaining even to Moses. And God gave them victories, to conquer other tribes that were on their way. But, you know, it seemed like even though God gave them all these victories, it seemed that faith never prepared them enough, you know, to cross over or to dwell richly in Canaan. They still, you know, had problems. They were complaining against God. And so they could not dwell on that past. They could not dwell on their conquering the cities that they conquered. They needed God to intervene in a new way. Praise be to God. And we need to ask ourselves, what is the activity? What is the thing that God is just about in our lives, to do in our lives? When you look into your life, what is the thing that you'd want God to do in your life? Say, for example, in your finances. Maybe you could be in debt. If you look into your family life, maybe what is it that you'd want God to come and perform in the lives of your children, in the life of your spouse? What is it that you'd want him to come and do in your life? Are there things that you'd want God? I mean, are you in a place whereby you are discontented about the things that are happening in your life? Would you want God to move you a notch higher? Would you want God to give you a little bit more money so that you can be a little bit comfortable and support the work of the ministry? When you look at your life, what do you see? Amen? So those are the things we need to change our focus. Look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what are the things we want God even to do in our lives? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The second thing that we have to notice is to reposition ourselves. When we know that God is just about to do a new thing in our lives, we have to reposition yourself. And while I'm talking, when I say repositioning ourselves, there are certain things that we need to ask ourselves. Like, for example, we have to be expectant. You know, when a woman is expecting of a child, you may not have seen that child yet, but when a woman is expectant, there are certain things that she does in preparation of the baby that is soon coming, right? Have we not done so? And even as a family, we prepare ourselves. There's a room maybe that is prepared, a new bed is bought, you know, we begin to go to buy clothes even for the new baby. We begin to prepare ourselves in the receipt of this baby. We prepare ourselves. Why? Because we are expectant. I've never seen a mother who is expectant or a family that is expectant. And you know what? They don't care about anything. They don't buy, they don't even organize a baby shower. In other words, you know, it's like life just continues as normal. No. But what I've seen is that when a family is expecting a child, you know, a mother either goes to somewhere, begins to buy things slowly and calls her friends so that they can come and tell everybody about this baby that is coming. Why? Because they are expectant. Amen? When God says that he's going to do a new thing in your life, he means it. And so we need to reposition ourselves. And when we reposition ourselves, we need to expect that God is just about to do something new. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? We have to reposition ourselves. And in repositioning ourselves, we have to be expectant of the thing that God is just about to do. Now, there's no way we can be expectant if we don't expect God to do something. You know, expectancy draws that which you have been expecting from the Lord. It kind of tells even the Lord, when the Lord looks at you, the Lord says, oh, you know what? He's prepared and he is ready to receive that which I'm just about to give. There are also a few things that we also have to reconsider while we are talking about repositioning ourselves. Praise the Lord. When we view into our lives, what do you see when you view into your life? Your life may be a hard life. Maybe you're going through some trouble. Maybe you're going through some difficult situations. But what do you see when you look into your life? There are things that you can decide to see when you look into your life. Amen? When you're desperate, you may not have money. Everything that you've been trying to do has not been working out. There's something that you can see. You can see difficulty. You can see impossibilities. You can see, oh, you know what? I don't think I can do this thing. I don't think I can get where God wants me to get. But also, you can look into your life and you can see possibilities. Amen? You can see what God can do. Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells us that I will make ways in the desert places. That is some of the things that he will do, the new things that he will do. Praise be to God. He says that I will make ways in the desert places. Oh, hallelujah. I wish you can see this. You can see with me what it says. I will make a way in the wilderness and I will cause there to be rivers in the desert places. So do not resign at your situation. Let me tell you, it's all natural. And I've been there. You know, you are bombarded by issues. Man, when you look on your left, this bill, the bill collectors are calling you. You have not been able even to pay your rent. You have not even been able even to provide what your children have been needing. And that can be pressurizing. It can be stressful. Oh, I know I'm talking this to myself. Praise be to the Lord. Have you not been in a position whereby you feel, my goodness, it's like hell has been unleashed, you know, on my family. And there seem not to be anybody who knows what is happening. When you look on your left, everything seemed to be a done deal. And it's so natural to look at this situation and not see the possibilities. But I can look into my life and I can hope in God. I can look into my life and still trust in him. That he is beside the scenes, his hand is reaching out where I cannot go. Am I talking to somebody? Have you not tried to do all you can sometimes when, especially for us men, when problems come, we are solution. You know, we can, our wives can be speaking to us and you can say, oh, now these things are happening. And you know what? We are just ready at the go to provide solutions. Don't worry, baby. Everything is going to be okay. You know, I'm going to do this. And we're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other. But you know, in your knowing, things are really tight. But how about letting God's hand reach out where you cannot go? How about letting God's mind think for you where what you cannot think? Amen? Behold, he says that I will make a way in the wilderness. That situation that you're looking at might be a wilderness. But if we can hope in God, God can make a way in the even in that wilderness situation. He says that when you look at the situation, some of you may not even know what a desert means. In a desert, there's nothing that grows in a desert. Amen? There's no water. If you look at the Nat Geo documentaries about the desert, you look, it's all sand dunes miles and miles away. And all you can see is just mirage of heat and strong heat, maybe in the highest degrees. There's nothing that grows in. And when you look at your situation, it's to a desert. God says that do not dwell on your past. Behold, I will do a new thing. How is it? Exactly. How is God going to do a new thing? He is going to cause there to be rivers in the desert, in unexpected ways, in the places where, in your desert places, God will cause there to be rivers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He will do a new thing. Praise be to God. And in order to discover what God wants in your life, in order for you to expect to be in an expected mode, you have to tell God, God, help me to see what you see. Amen? God, help me to see what you see. What does God see? What does God say about us? In Jeremiah chapter number 29, verses 11, the Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Amen? It is God's word. This word was never spoken only to the Israelites. It's been spoken to you. And God says that I know the plans that I have for you. Eh? I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. What God thinks about you is not anything to harm you or to bring destruction to you. Praise be to God. We have to ask God, God, help me see what you see in my life. God, help me to look at things even though it doesn't make any sense. Help me to see the things the way you see looking into my life. Remember, I was putting a post, you know, the Lord was speaking to me about this the other day, that when he came to Gideon, you know, Gideon didn't even know what he had. But, you know, I was telling you this the other day, that the angel came and told Gideon, stand up and go in this might that you have. That means when God looks at you, he sees something that you cannot see. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So when he was speaking to the children of Israel, God was organizing and lining up events and people who are going to cause the children of Israel to come out of captivity. It is not your... Sometimes, let me tell you, we do things that God is supposed to do in our lives. We trouble ourselves so much. I mean, I feel it in my... I wish I can speak it the way I feel it. Sometimes we trouble ourselves and we want to do the job that God wants to do. Do you know God doesn't need to learn, Sister Carol, God doesn't need to learn anything about the problem that you're going through. He doesn't. He already knows it. He knows what events he can catapult in your life. And he knows the people that he can line up in your life, my God. And let me tell you, when these people come and when the events come, you will know that God is in operation. Amen? And in so doing, he is creating a way in the wilderness. He only can do that. He only can create a way in the wilderness. He only can create a river in the desert places. How many of you are going through your desert places? My prayer for you is that you may ask God, as you reposition yourself, God, may you help me to see what you see in my life. God, may you help me what I can accomplish in my life. Because I'm myopic. I can only see up to this far. But I know when I can engage your ears, when I can see things through your eyes, I know, God, you have a wonderful plan concerning my life. And I want to see the river springing up in my desert places. I want to see my wilderness. Oh God, I want you to see springs spring forth in my wastelands in the name of Jesus. Behold, I will do a new thing in your life. While they were when these guys were so distraught, and you remember they were saying that how can we sing the Lord's song even in a foreign land? They were under the subjection of captivity. There was hard labor. They were longing for the day. They had this homesick for the land and for the temple of the Lord. But God was telling them, I cannot come to bulldoze myself in you. You have to know that I'm doing a new thing in your life. And if you can believe it, your belief will cause me to catapult events in your life and to send divine, oh God, I'll send divine connections on your life so that somebody will be coming to speak to you and they will not even be aware of what they are speaking to you. But God has sent them to you so that he in the process, he is creating a river in your wilderness places. I told you about what somebody who came to me one time. Let me tell you, do not be a lone ranger. Unasikia? Do not be a lone ranger. Be involved in what people, because it is in the involvement that God will use people. God uses people to bless other people. Are you listening to me? I'm in a meeting in Evangelist Wairimo's meeting. And I think I told you, I don't know whether I told you this, I was telling the Bible study. And somebody comes out of the blues. This guy, I had not even seen him for a long, long, long time. And this guy comes and he begins to give me information. He's telling me, he doesn't even know what he is telling me. And he's giving me just exactly what I needed to know. And I had prayed to God, God, how can I do this? How will I do this? And this guy, and he, you know, it's just an informal conversation. It was not even, we met actually on the door. And I'm asking, hey, brother so-and-so, where have you been? And he starts, in fact, I'd never even asked for this information. And he's just speaking, and he's speaking, and he's speaking, and he's speaking. I go, hey, hiya, nego, continue. And he's going, and he's going. Let me tell you, man, at the end of the day, I had 100% of everything I needed to know. Divine connections. Because God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen? You have to, do not dispel people. Let me tell you, even in your workplace, it might be maybe your colleague at work. God can put words in a colleague at work and they want to talk to you, and every time you've been pushing them away. Please don't do that, because you might be pushing away the word from the Lord. They might even not look like you. They might not even might be thinking about you. They might be even be rude to you. They might not look like how you've been expecting them. It might be actually an old person. But the words they will speak to you, they will be God sent from heaven to propel you to the next level of destiny. Do not ignore anybody who comes. Let me tell you, I'm very sensitive who comes to me, and whatever people, especially people I don't know, I want to hear what they are telling me. Because out of them, I might pick something that God is sending them for me. Amen? Are you listening to me? God wants to do something new in your life. And it doesn't matter in whatever area that you might be going through. God wants to do something different in your life. See your possibilities. I was telling you about Gideon. Gideon didn't know that he had power. In fact, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that the angel came in with interacting with Gideon and he infused the power of God in him. No. In fact, after the angel spoke to Gideon, the Bible says, and the Lord came and told Gideon, rise up and go in this might that I see in you. Gideon never saw it. But I wish he engaged the eyes of God. Because when God looked at Gideon, Pastor Chi, he saw he saw the mightiness that Gideon had. You are the one that I've appointed to go and kill the Midianites. This guy was hidden somewhere in a corner trying to salvage food. But he didn't know that he had it. Amen? You don't know whether you have it. But when God looks at you, when God shows you, or when God lets you to see through his eyes, you can see, oh my God, I didn't know that I had this. There are singers here in this congregation. People who can be standing here every Sunday to bless us. But you know what? You sang one day and people laughed at you. And in so doing, you allowed the devil to suppress that gift. I see singers here. There are some of you, if you sing here, you'll be on a stage, maybe on the American American Idol. You know, like Sister Hannah. You know, have you seen Sister Hannah in American Idol? You wonder, only any Hannah. Huh? But just because maybe you sang one day and you told, and people said, what did you say? And now what you have resorted in telling people, just listen to the words, not that. Eh? You know, those are the testimonies you used to hear back then. People would say, oh, do not listen at the voice, listen at the words. Why don't you say a poem? Or just read it, read the words. If you don't want us to hear your voice, just say the words. Yeah? Believe in yourself. I see entrepreneurs here. You know what? God has caused you to be an entrepreneur. But because you have not seen yourself in the eyes of God, if you can tell God, God, pop up my eyes. Pop up my eyes. Can you imagine what we can do, man, guy? Can you imagine what we can do? Mom, think about this. If God would bless you so much financially and you are earning maybe like $500,000 a year and Julius earns $1 million a year, Sister Charity the same, and Pastor Francis maybe $5 million, and maybe Pastor Chi maybe $1 million a year, we would not even call people for this harambe, because your 10% would be enough. In fact, just 1 month, we can buy a building. I am telling God to crisscross me. I don't want to be a beggar anymore. I want to be in a level where... Are you listening? By the way, you know, this is not a cliche. I'm very serious about this. I want to see myself in the eyes of God. You know, because when I see myself in the eyes of God, God has a wonderful plan for me. God, I mean, how can God bring you in the greatest nation on earth and still dwell like a poor man back in Africa? I refuse it. Can you refuse it with me?
Yes.
Refuse it with me in the name of Jesus. Let us have, Jimmy, see your businessmen going far, you know. Because when God looks at you, he doesn't see that operation. He sees a bigger operation. We can do it. If other people are able to do it and they don't know God, how about us? There's going to be divine connection. But you know what? It's not going to happen unless you're expectant. I am expectant. You know, an expectant mother, she will do anything to prepare that baby to come here on planet Earth. You have to be expectant. How many people are pregnant? I am pregnant, you know? I am pregnant with something. I'm expecting something. Pastor Chi, I'm expectant. I am tired, you know, going from paycheck to paycheck. I am tired, you know, from lacking money to support the work of the ministry. I am tired. I want to be pregnant. I want to be pregnant so that I can give birth to this thing that has never been seen. Huh? It can happen. It can happen. Huh? It can happen to us. God is doing a new thing, man. God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, and I'm concluding. We started by saying that we have to change our focus. Not focus on the past things, not focus on the past victories. Yes, God did it then, but what is God doing it now in your life? And number two, we said we have to reposition ourselves. We have to be expectant. We have to look into our lives and decide to see what God sees in us. We have to see that man of valor in us. That word that says that I've made you more than a conqueror. My God, let me tell you a story, man, and before I go, and I know our time is gone. You remember I was telling you, one time, 2006, I wanted to buy a truck. I wanted to get into the trucking business. I don't know whether I told you this story, and I tell you, I know I repeat myself so many times, but for the sake of just telling you this, I went and my credit was not good. In fact, every time I went and I spoke to the people in the dealership, I wanted to buy a splinter van. You know, I know I'm not even an idea of buying a truck, but I wanted to get into the trucking business. And I wanted to buy this van. This large van is a Mercedes van. You have seen this very elongated van. Because somebody told me, actually Gideon is the one who told me, if you can bring this van in our place, you can make more. That man you see there, he helped me a lot. So I'm going from one dealership to another. They were being marketed by Dodge, okay? And I'm going from one Dodge, and in my lack of information, and you know, I don't even know how to do. I say, I want to buy a Dodge van. So what do you have in your hands? I say, what did you need? You know, they say, do you have? Can we run your credit? They run your credit, and they say, no. You know what? You don't even come even close. You better go look for a job, maybe. In fact, there's one guy who told me, you better go look for a job because, you know, your credit doesn't even qualify. The van was going actually for about $40,000. But you know what? I had to push on. And I kept on going, 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 man. I went to almost 6-7 dealerships, and they were saying no. But finally, I went to one dealership in Louisville here, and there was an old man. Let me tell you how God works. You know, I'm talking about the expectation. When you have an expected in you, you know what? I'm not taking no for an answer. So I'm going to this dealership in Louisville, and there was an elderly man, and he's asking me to give him my particulars. He looks at my particulars and he smiles. He looks at my particulars and he smiles, and I know this is not already. Because, you know, when somebody smiles and is looking at your documents, it's like you're wasting their time. But then he looks at me one more time, and he called me, this is what he said. In fact, I remember, he said, son, because he was an elderly man, a Mzungu elderly man. And he said, son, when I look at everything that you have, you don't qualify. But something deep inside me tells me to help you. Can you imagine? Something deep in, that means God had seen my expectation. And it didn't matter whether my credit did not even qualify me to buy a van. But God sent somebody somewhere and prepared him. And I had to go through the process like Joseph. You know, sometimes we go through difficult situations and we give up. And we surrender before God. God wants to see whether you are serious to get it. Are you serious? Are you looking at me? You know, look at Joseph. Joseph is sent out, his soul is put on in prison. Miss Potiphar said, wants to have her in the bed, and she refuses it, and he ends up in prison just because of fearing the Lord. But see where Joseph ended up. If you would have given up and said, even this Miss Potiphar, God, why did you allow me to go through these things? I am not going to follow you anymore. Joseph would have failed the opportunity to become the prime minister of Egypt. So this guy looks at me and he says, son, when I look at what you presented me, there's nothing any close that you would qualify. But something deep inside tells me to help you. And you know, I don't know. This guy used to be actually a chief CEO of the Freightliner dealership. And he was on retirement. He had just come there to do part-time job. And so he had linked up with the people, you know, influential people, godfathers, you know, whatever people, whether you call them godfathers. And all he did is just pick up a phone and say, I'm sending to you this young man, and I want you to do all you can to help him. Let me tell you, I came out of that dealership with a brand new Sprinter van. Eh? Gideon, you saw that Sprinter van? I brought it to Eagle Logistics. Now the story is people didn't know what I had to go through. They just saw somebody, Pastor is blessed. But you know what? I had to pursue that for that blessing. Amen? You had to pursue it. Are you listening to me, guys? Do not give up. Whatever God has put in you, God is not a confused God. If God wants you to go places, he will put a crazy idea in you. Pursue it. Pursue it. Call me. Let us pray for it. You're going to have some impediments. You're going to have some bequazos, but you keep on pushing. Eventually, God is going to show up. Are you listening to me? So, I'm telling you the truth. God wants to do something new, even in among us. And in conclusion, I want to speak about submit to God's plan. In submitting to God's plan, number one, you have to maintain a God connection. Praise the Lord. You have to maintain a God connection. In other words, we have to honor him. When you look at life, does your life honor God? Because if God is just about to do something fresh and new in your life, then you have to be tuned with him so that you can separate his voice from the many voices that tells you, the discouraging voices, the voices that tells you that you cannot do it, the voices that tells you, oh, you know what, go see this person. But when God speaks, you know, this is the voice of God. And I know clearly because I'm in connection with him. Are you listening to me? You have to be a man and woman who honors God, who fears God. Amen? And God will set in motion events and people in your line. You know, I was just giving you an example of this story to come and be a blessing to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Finally, the book of Psalm 95, verse number 7 to 8. The Bible says, for he is our God, and the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What is God speaking in your life? God wants to bring something fresh in your life. Amen? It could be a business. It could be a conversion of your child. It could be you moving from where you are right now. It could be maybe buying a house. Hello, somebody? It could be buying a house. Somebody came here the other day and he said, is it Brother Albert? He said, I liked what he said. I want a 7-bedroom house. You know what? God will give him. Because he is pregnant. The house is here already. If you don't see Albert, go look at him today. He is like this. Albert, be pregnant with what you need. Amen? And once in a while, that baby will, inside of you needs to be kicking. Make sure that his... Hannah, see the baby kicks when you have a baby inside. Be checking whether that baby is kicking. And you know, you cannot be pregnant forever. You have to be pregnant. Now I'm talking in syllables, you know. You cannot be pregnant forever. You're pregnant for how many months? I don't know the gestation period of your pregnancy. For some of you, maybe the gestation period may be 1 year. For some of you, maybe the gestation period might be 2 years. But you're still pregnant. And be checking whether that baby is alive and kicking. But you know, if God has desired that 2 years is when you're going to give birth, we shall come and celebrate. And I'll be letting you know. Voila! See what the Lord has done. I've given birth. But it is through the prayer of intercession. Through I nurtured this baby. I prayed for it. And behold, I'm giving birth to this child. This is what the Lord has done. Are you listening to me? Stand up on your feet. Amen.